Listening test. Part 1. You're going to listen to a recorded material. Before you listen, you have 20 seconds to read instructions carefully, and you will listen to it twice. You're ready to start.
Well, we have this school excursion plan, but when exactly is it? Is it this Tuesday or Wednesday?
Well, it can't be Tuesday with the English tests taking place.
Ah, right, not Tuesday, but Wednesday.
That's right, all day Wednesday, taking a bus outside the city.
And where are we going?
Last month we went to Arthur Island, so this time we're going to the animal park.
Arthur Island was okay, but it was too cold. Let's hope the weather for this week's excursion is better. I don't suppose animals care about bad weather, but I certainly do. Have you heard the forecast?
Yes, and it's not too bad. Basically, they're saying Monday will be sunny.
Good.
But then the weather will change.
Not so good.
Yes, Tuesday we'll have some showers, but by Wednesday, the day of our excursion, it will be, well, their words are cold and cloudy.
Cold and cloudy. Well, as long as it isn't wet and rainy, I'm happy enough. We won't need umbrellas, just warm clothing. And what time will we get there?
Let's see, the bus picks us up at 8:30 a.m. and then it's an hour and a half on the road, so we arrive at 10 a.m. Sorry, with the 15-minute break, that will actually be 10:15 a.m.
That's early enough. Then all our students can see the animals, have their fun, and do whatever they want to do.
Well, one fun event planned that day is Birds of Prey.
What's that?
That's when they bring out several birds of prey, eagles, falcons, kites, those sorts of birds, and throw pieces of meat into the air, and the birds swoop down and eat them. It's quite impressive.
Sounds great. Birds of Prey. Are there any other activities?
There's a catered lunch at the park restaurant. We've already paid for that. And in the afternoon there's... Well, I had a choice between the reptile display and the koala handling. In the reptile display, the students can handle live pythons and various other snakes.
Surely they'd rather hold koalas.
I'm sure, but the koalas can't be handled unless the weather's sunny, and given the forecast, I thought it better to choose the reptile display.
That's a shame. These Asian students would love the koala handling.
Yes, I know, but we can't control the weather.
And then we get back. What time will that be?
We leave the park at 4:30, but then we face traffic, so we won't get back until well after 6 p.m. It will most likely be 6:30, but that's better than the last trip. We didn't get home until 8:30 that time.
Yes, that was a bit too late, wasn't it? Well, we have this school excursion plan, but when exactly is it? Is it this Tuesday or Wednesday?
Well, it can't be Tuesday with the English tests taking place.
Right, not Tuesday, but Wednesday.
That's right, all day Wednesday, taking a bus outside the city.
And where are we going?
Last month we went to Arthur Island, so this time we're going to the animal park.
Arthur Island was okay, but it was too cold. Let's hope the weather for this week's excursion is better. I don't suppose animals care about bad weather, but I certainly do. Have you heard the forecast?
Yes, and it's not too bad. Basically, they're saying Monday will be sunny.
Good.
But then the weather will change.
Not so good.
Yes. Tuesday we'll have some showers, but by Wednesday, the day of our excursion, it will be, well, their words are cold and cloudy.
Cold and cloudy. Well, as long as it isn't wet and rainy, I'm happy enough. We won't need umbrellas, just warm clothing. And what time will we get there?
Let's see, the bus picks us up at 8:30 a.m. and then it's an hour and a half on the road, so we arrive at 10 a.m. Sorry, with the 15-minute break, that will actually be 10:15 a.m.
That's early enough. Then all our students can see the animals, have their fun, and do whatever they want to do.
Well, one fun event planned that day is Birds of Prey.
What's that?
That's when they bring out several birds of prey, eagles, falcons, kites, those sorts of birds, and throw pieces of meat into the air, and the birds swoop down and eat them. It's quite impressive.
Sounds great. Birds of Prey. Are there any other activities?
There's a catered lunch at the park restaurant. We've already paid for that. And in the afternoon there's... Well, I had a choice between the reptile display and the koala handling. In the reptile display, the students can handle live pythons and various other snakes.
Surely they'd rather hold koalas.
I'm sure, but the koalas can't be handled unless the weather's sunny, and given the forecast, I thought it better to choose the reptile display.
That's a shame. These Asian students would love the koala handling.
Yes, I know, but we can't control the weather.
And then we get back. What time will that be?
We leave the park at 4:30, but then we face traffic, so we won't get back until well after 6 p.m. It will most likely be 6:30, but that's better than the last trip. We didn't get home until 8:30 that time.
Yes, that was a bit too late, wasn't it?
Part 2. You're going to listen to another recorded material. Again, before you listen, you have 20 seconds to read the instructions carefully, and you will listen to it twice. You're ready to start.
Hello and welcome to Film Weekly. In the run-up to the Film Awards this year, we're taking a look at the early lives of some of the award nominees. Tonight, we will be looking at Matt Damon, the action hero of the Bourne film trilogy. Matt was born in the USA in 1970. His parents divorced when he was two, and he and his elder brother Kyle lived with their mother. It was an unusual childhood. For some of the time, they lived with five other families in a big community house. His mother was a professor of early childhood development and had strong views on how to raise children. Matt has said, "It was as if she knew it all in advance. It was an annoying way to be raised." But she had a huge influence on her sons and wanted them to be inventive. She gave them wooden blocks to play with so that they would use their imagination. She wouldn't allow them to play with guns or war toys. Kyle became an artist, and Matt, from a young age, was obsessive about dressing up and imitating other people. Later, this became a love of acting. He shared this passion with his best friend, Ben Affleck. They did lots of acting at school and encouraged each other in the film world. But after years of trying, they were still unknowns. So they decided to write and act in their own film, Good Will Hunting. It was an amazing success. Matt and Ben won an Oscar for their screenplay, and their lives were never the same again. Matt's mother, however, was unimpressed by his fame. When he had finally achieved the success he craved, Matt realized that it was never going to make him happy. So, in between films, he has become a tireless worker for charity. This work has made his mother very proud of him. Hello and welcome to Film Weekly. In the run-up to the Film Awards this year, We're taking a look at the early lives of some of the award nominees. Tonight, we will be looking at Matt Damon, the action hero of the Bourne film trilogy. Matt was born in the USA in 1970. His parents divorced when he was two, and he and his elder brother Kyle lived with their mother. It was an unusual childhood. For some of the time, they lived with five other families in a big community house. His mother was a professor of early childhood development and had strong views on how to raise children. Matt has said, "It was as if she knew it all in advance. It was an annoying way to be raised." But she had a huge influence on her sons and wanted them to be inventive. She gave them wooden blocks to play with so that they would use their imagination. She wouldn't allow them to play with guns or war toys. Kyle became an artist, and Matt, from a young age, was obsessive about dressing up and imitating other people. Later, this became a love of acting. He shared this passion with his best friend, Ben Affleck. They did lots of acting at school and encouraged each other in the film world. But after years of trying, they were still unknowns. So they decided to write and act in their own film, Good Will Hunting. It was an amazing success. Matt and Ben won an Oscar for their screenplay, and their lives were never the same again. Matt's mother, however, was unimpressed by his fame. When he had finally achieved the success he craved, Matt realised that it was never going to make him happy. So, in between films, he has become a tireless worker for charity. This work has made his mother very proud of him.
Part 3. This is the last recorded material you are going to listen to. You also have 20 seconds to read instructions before you listen. And you will also listen to it twice. You're ready to start.
My guest today is the star of the London Ballet Company, 22-year-old Elena Karpov. Elena, you were born in Bulgaria. Did you always want to be a dancer?
Well, I was a very lively little girl, so at the age of 7, my mother sent me to gymnastics classes. When I was 9, I went on to ballet lessons, and from that moment I knew that I wanted to spend my life dancing. 2 years later, when I was 11, I won a place at the New York Ballet School.
So you had to move to the United States. Mm. Did you miss your family?
Oh, yes. At first it was difficult being away from home and not knowing a lot of English, but it taught me how to look after myself and not to depend on others. There were other Bulgarian students there, and we actually found it quite easy to learn enough English to take part in the lessons with the other students.
Hmm. Tell us about your latest role with the London Ballet Company.
I'm going to dance the part of Cinderella. It's a story about a poor girl who marries a handsome prince. My parents used to read it to me when I was little. I'd never seen the ballet before, but I already knew the music really well. I'm sure children will love the ballet.
What do you do when you're not practicing or performing?
Before I joined this company, I spent 2 weeks going round London as a tourist. I don't have time for sightseeing now, but I love trying on the latest fashions with my friends. I'm always buying new jeans and trainers. I'm not too keen on discos and nightclubs. I dance enough during the day.
You must have lots of fans.
Quite a few. They always ask for a photograph of me, but unfortunately I don't have many to give away. I sometimes sign their programmes instead, and if I can, I give them one of the flowers I've received from the audience. They always ask for tickets, but of course that's not possible.
What's been the best thing that's happened in your career so far?
Well, I've been a guest dancer with ballet companies in Moscow and Vienna, and I appeared twice on television in Bulgaria and met the president. I shall never forget that. But the most satisfying thing for me is that I'm paid for doing what I really enjoy, dancing.
Elena, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
Now listen again.
My guest today is the star of the London Ballet Company, 22-year-old Elena Karpov. Elena, you were born in Bulgaria. Did you always want to be a dancer?
Well, I was a very lively little girl, so at the age of 7, my mother sent me to gymnastics classes. When I was 9, I went on to ballet lessons, and from that moment I knew that I wanted to spend my life dancing. 2 years later, when I was 11, I won a place at the New York Ballet School.
So you had to move to the United States. Mm. Did you miss your family?
Oh, yes. At first it was difficult being away from home and not knowing a lot of English, but it taught me how to look after myself and not to depend on others. There were other Bulgarian students there, and we actually found it quite easy to learn enough English to take part in the lessons with the other students.
Hmm. Tell us about your latest role with the London Ballet Company.
I'm going to dance the part of Cinderella. It's a story about a poor girl who marries a handsome prince. My parents used to read it to me when I was little. I'd never seen the ballet before, but I already knew the music really well. I'm sure children will love the ballet.
What do you do when you're not practicing or performing?
Before I joined this company, I spent 2 weeks going round London as a tourist. I don't have time for sightseeing now, but I love trying on the latest fashions with my friends. I'm always buying new jeans and trainers. I'm not too keen on discos and nightclubs. I dance enough during the day.
You must have lots of fans.
Quite a few. They always ask for a photograph of me, but unfortunately I don't have many to give away. I sometimes sign their programmes instead, and if I can, I give them one of the flowers I've received from the audience. They always ask for tickets, but of course that's not possible.
What's been the best thing that's happened in your career so far?
Well, I've been a guest dancer with ballet companies in Moscow and Vienna, and I appeared twice on television in Bulgaria and met the president. I shall never forget that. But the most satisfying thing for me is that I'm paid for doing what I really enjoy, dancing.
Elena, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Time's up. Thank you.